I'm Windsor Johnston. The Trump administration says it will ban all U.S. business transactions with Chinese-owned apps WeChat and TikTok starting this weekend. NPR's Bobby Allen reports the apps have raised national security concerns in Washington.
Starting Sunday, Americans will not be able to download TikTok. Updates to the app will also stop. For those who already have the popular video sharing app, it will still work, but could get slow or buggy. The Trump administration's crackdown on TikTok comes as software company Oracle and Walmart are still in talks to come up with a deal to save the app. The White House says if a deal is not reached by early November, TikTok will be completely banned in the U.S. TikTok says Trump's action is unjust and vowed to try to overturn the president's action in federal court. Bobby Allen, NPR News, San Francisco.
A new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll finds Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden continuing to lead President Trump nationally in the upcoming election. NPR's Domenico Montanaro has more.
Biden leads President Trump 52-43% among likely voters nationally in the poll. That's largely unchanged from last month. Adding in Libertarian nominee Joe Jorgensen and the Green Party's Howie Hawkins, Biden is still ahead by 7 points. Biden is doing it by winning over white voters, seniors, and independents, groups Trump won last time. The president maintains solid support with Republicans and white evangelical Christians, and he's cutting into Biden's margins somewhat with non-whites, particularly Latinos. It's been a remarkably consistent contest nationally, but it's a tighter race in states key to the Electoral College that will decide the election. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
Early voting begins in several states today. Daniela Cheslow from member station WAMU reports new voting laws passed by Democrats in Virginia have made it possible for anyone in the state to cast their ballot ahead of schedule.
A line of voters in masks stands outside Arlington's Courthouse Plaza. The county registrar says 200 people voted in the first hour. 39-year-old attorney Luigi de Guzman says it's his first time voting as a new citizen, and he's grateful for the chance to get his ballot in early.
I didn't want to take the risk of an absentee ballot being lost in the mail or otherwise not counted.
De Guzman is from the Philippines and says he's against the Trump administration's policy toward immigrants. In previous elections, voters had to give a reason for why they wanted to vote early or absentee. This year, they don't need any reason, and they don't need a photo ID anymore either. Also new this year in Virginia, Election Day will be a state holiday. For NPR News, I'm Daniela Cheslow.
On Wall Street, the Dow was down 233 points. This is NPR.
Here's a program from our archives. That blast from a ram's horn signals the first day of the Jewish New Year. Yet another marker of this high holy day is the symbolic practice of Tashlicht. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet. Every year, Nashville Rabbi Ken Cantor leads his congregation to a local river to observe Tashlicht.
The tradition of Tashlicht is a 14th century tradition that we should cast our sins away into the deep. But the tradition is very much a physical manifestation of throwing away the sins that you have committed so that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you can, in a way, be purified of those sins.
Rabbi Cantor says the act may be simple, but as a ritual for Rosh Hashanah, the new year, it's very powerful.
For most of the holiday services, our congregants sit and listen. They sing, they read, they pray. And while it is in a small way active because it's something you do, it is in a large way passive. You sit, you listen to the rabbi, you listen to the music. Tashlich is something we can all do. It doesn't take any great training. All it takes is the recognition that by holding something in your hand that represents the failings we all know we have done in the past year and tossing them away, that somehow we can rid ourselves and try to guide ourselves in the coming year to maybe have less to throw away next year.
Pulse of the Planet is presented by the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
Welcome back to KRWG's Gardening Confidential on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host for this show. Our special guest is Jeff Anderson. He is the Doña Ana County Agricultural Agent as part of NMSU Extension Office. We are waiting to hear from you with your calls at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Jeff, we're going to get right to the phone lines because we've had some very patient people that were able to hold through the news because they have questions for you. Judy, you are on with Jeff Anderson.
Hello, yes.
Yes, Judy, what's on your mind?
I have a question about bark ants, which I had never heard of. I lost a tree last year. According to the tree guys, I had to remove it. I have two other live oaks. I've seen ants on one of them, and I'm afraid I'll lose another. They're quite large trees. I wonder if you could advise me on that.
So that's a difficult question, knowing what kind of ants that you actually have. So you probably had carpenter ants, and carpenter ants are generally only going to go after rotting wood and making colonies in there. So question whether your trees have rotting going on the inside, possibly. But that's kind of a more of a difficult question to answer without knowing what kind of ants are there. So what you can do would be to collect some of those ants, and you can call or email me. We can find a way to pick them up. I can get them identified and see what we need to do to control them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Judy. Appreciate it. 575-646-2212. So many phone numbers, Jeff. I've got the 888 number. I've got this number. I've got the 90.7 FM. It is what it is. We are wrapping up the fund drive, and we want to wrap it up with pledges of support. Let us go to Joe. Joe, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You're on with Jeff Anderson. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi. I had a question. I had two questions, but I'll ask this first one just so that I won't forget. How beneficial is gray water from the house or plants or trees or the lawn?
So gray water isn't really a problem. It depends on what you're putting into it to be a gray. So if you're taking it from your sink or washing machine, whatever you're flushing down that water, gray water system is going on to your plants. So you want to use specific products, soaps that don't contain a lot of phosphorus or sodium and things like that. And then periodically, you know, that's okay to put on the plants unless they're sensitive plants, and you got to know that. But large trees, that's not going to be a problem. But periodically, you want to flush it with some clean water because you don't want to get residue built up in there.
What was your other question?
The other question is, you all were talking about the Chinese pistache. A few years ago, I was taking a tree steward class, and I was given a Chinese pistache that was grafted. We actually did the grafting in class. Would you happen to know the two varieties that might have been grafted together just by curiosity?
That was done through the city of Las Cruces, and I would contact the city of Las Cruces and about the class and try to find out what was used. But probably a male selection. I couldn't say. I wasn't part of that class.
Joe?
Yes, that's what triggered me to ask the question, is because it doesn't really have that much litter, so I figured it probably is a male.
Very likely may have been a male that was used, but probably an unnamed male.
Okay, Joe, got some other calls we're going to need to get in. Thank you very much for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, where we are taking your calls at 575-646-2212. Call in with your questions. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $100 gift card to Sierra Vista Growers. Let's go back to our phone lines. Dave, what's on your mind? You are on with Jeff Anderson.
Hi, Jeff. I really enjoy the show.
Great. Thank you. What's on your mind, Dave?
I think my problem is snails. They're eating young seedlings down at the ground. Other plants are attacking higher up. I have cutworm collars, so I don't think it's cutworms. But I'm just this year, my young plants are kind of devastated. And I've tried organic snail bait, also known as beer. They don't like that. I've tried eggshells, tried coffee grounds. They still attack.
Okay. So one of the things that you could try and get are predatory snails. And I don't have the Latin name for them, but if you were to type in on the internet, predatory snails, they're a little different.
Predatory snails.
Yeah, and they prey on the eggs and young of the garden snails that we typically get. And I put them in my yard. It took me several years, but they've been very effective.
Predatory snails.
Okay, I knew they had those in the sea, but they have them here, or at least they work here, too. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Dave. Sorry.
Thank you.
All right. 575-646-2212. We have a question via Facebook from Wally, who said he just planted Bermuda grass seed September 1st. He's now seeing light green and dark green growth. Been watering early morning and late night only. What should he expect by the end of the month?
So that's a little late to be planting Bermuda earlier. So Bermuda likes the heat, but then you got to make sure you water it quite a bit. So depending on how big a piece of Bermuda grass you have, you just want to keep it watered. You could possibly do like a Miracle-Gro liquid fertilizer over the top to give it a little more energy. Basically, you only have about this month, and then it's going to really start dropping off in temperature, and then that grass is going to go dormant. So you want to get as much growth on it as you possibly can right now. But you don't want to put granular fertilizer down and burn it.
Okay, we have another social media question from Leslie, and this is one of those popular plants that people love to plant. It's an avocado. She says that she has an avocado plant that she's been growing in water, and it's about a foot tall. What is the best way to plant it, and what medium would you suggest?
So avocado trees need an extremely fast-draining soil. If they get any kind of water logging, their roots rot and it dies. They're also susceptible to salt, so they're very sensitive to that, and they'll get leaf burn. They don't like the dry air too much, but there's not a whole lot we can do about that. They will not grow outside here. And, you know, they get probably 20, 30 feet tall if they did grow here. And then you need a type A and a type B to cross-pollinate. And then they flower and fruit in the wintertime, so you can't have really any freezing going on. So they're a novelty to grow, and they're fun, but don't expect it to live very long unless you've got a lot of patience for a lot of years.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. We'll check back with you in just a bit. Right now, we want to check in with Sarah Campbell, who has been monitoring the pledge lines. Sarah, where are we? We are so close to reaching our goal, and once we do, we go back to regular programming, and that is what we want to do. Sarah, what's the update?
That's right. So, Edmundo, I am so excited. I have updates to give. So right now, we are at $1,635 to go.
$1,635.
That's right. So slowly but surely, we are chipping away. And, you know, whatever amount you are able to give, it really does add up. It really does, you know, get us closer to our goal and closer to ending this drive early.
And what better way to really get your voice be heard? And that is by doing it right now, doing the Gardening Confidential. Let's wrap it up before 2 o'clock. Then Intermezzo, by request, we'll just have a regular show. She'll be able to take in your request. That is Intermezzo by Request with Leora Zeitlin. That's coming up at 2 o'clock. Let us celebrate with your pledge of support. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. 1635. You know, that $35 is really bugging me for some reason. It's because it's an odd number. So let's get the basic membership of $35 contribution to come in right now so we could be at 1600. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. Sarah, you look like you had an...
Yes. Well, I wanted to thank some people.
Okay.
We have some time to do that right now.
Go for it.
So I want to thank Joanne Stockert in Silver City. Thank you so much. We also had a new donor come in earlier today from actually out of our listening area. She gave a shout out to Cheryl and Elaine, who were on Morning Edition with us earlier today. We've got some more anonymous folks, anonymous members, including one anonymous sustaining member in Las Cruces, and somebody else anonymous in Silver City who says that KRWG has been a lifeline while she was sheltering at home.
All right. All right, Sarah, we'll check back with you a little bit later. We're so close, folks. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794, $1,635 to reach $105,000. Will it be you that steps up and makes a difference for KRWG? Will it be you who lets us know that you value this service because you are listening right now? 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Thank you, Sarah. We'll check back with you in just a bit. Jeff, we have another social media question, and this comes up pretty frequently when we do the Gardening Confidential, is do you know of any local gardening groups or clubs? They know of an iris club, but are there any others? Also, do you teach any classes for the public?
So the one gardening group that I do know of, and the reason I know of them because they do contact me for programs and stuff, and that's High Hopes Garden Club. I knew there was a couple other ones I thought, but I'm not sure if they're around and they haven't contacted me in quite some time. I do public programs. During COVID, we haven't been doing much of anything. I've been working on a lot of paperwork and working with homeowners and businesses, things like that, but haven't been doing the regular public programming that we're used to be doing.
Yeah, 'tis the way of life right now. Let us go to our phone lines where we have Rosemary standing by. Rosemary, thank you for your patience. What's on your mind? You are on with Jeff.
I'm a country girl from Hatch area, from Salem, the farms. And I just wanted to know how, I wanted you to know how I have enriched where I live here in Mesilla Park, Tortugas. I have conditioned the soil with soaking pans where I cook. And I have enriched the soil. And I just thought I'd pass it on to people that are struggling to with the soil of gravel and sand. So, and I have pretty little flower beds.
Hmm. So what else do you grow? You grow flower beds? What kind of flowers do you grow?
Well, they're irises from Hatch, from Salem, to be exact. They come from the cemetery because I have adorned the cemetery over there of my parents and my husband. I'm a widow, and I have lantanas, and it's hard to grow anything where it's sandy and gravelly. And I improve the grounds with soaking pans where I cook, periodically.
Rosemary, thank you very much for the tip. So what do you think, Jeff?
So, yeah, around here we have quite a range of different soil types, from real rocky, gravelly, to sandy, to clay, to that adobe soil. So the answer to all of them is adding organic matter and enriching them and building them up. So, yeah, you can grow things here. When I first moved here in the early 80s, people said, oh, you can't grow anything here. other than what the farmers were doing in the field, obviously. But then I would cultivate the ground and plenty of organic matter. And next thing you know, I'm growing all these different things. And then people start saying, well, that's only because it's growing in your yard. So it could grow in everybody's yard if you just, you know, add organic matter, care and take care of things and love what you do. Love, well, that's number one thing. Just love what you do and find out how to do it.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Jeff Anderson is our special guest. Jeff, we've got lots of social media questions. We have one from Laurie who says that she has softened water, potassium salts, from her garden hose supply. Is using softened water on her vegetables and ornamentals harmful to them? And she says she grows primarily in containers.
So, yeah, in the long run, it can be harmful. So if you're getting the water, first off, if you get softened water, you shouldn't be plumbing your outdoor pipes to that softened water. I mean, it's just really a waste right there. But so you're replacing sodium with potassium. Plants can use potassium, but potassium can be as bad as sodium if you keep putting it on them all the time. So if you're hosing down your plants or sprinklers in a yard where it's getting on other plants, those potassium salts will build up just like sodium and burn the leaves all off of them. So maybe if you keep it on a drip, you can get by with it, but just clean, regular water without changing all the different salts would be a better option.
We have a big fan of the KRWG's Gardening Confidential, Susan and Sarah, who wants to know how she can find out how much she needs to water her yard during various seasons here. She says she has no grass, just cacti, shrubs, and trees. Some of the latter do not need water to live, but so she has an underground irrigation system. But the installers have given her advice that she knows is wrong about how many minutes, how many times a week to apply water.
So a difficult question because you have cactus and a lot of other different things there. So most of the time, our cactus should never, ever be on a drip system or any kind of a water system. Now, they may need some supplemental water in maybe April, May, June before the rainy season starts, if we get a rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
If that is really dry, they need a little bit of supplemental water maybe once a month just so they don't burn up like everything else. But, you know, for the amount of water you're going to give a tree, it's going to be totally different what you give a shrub. So you're either wasting water on the shrub or not watering enough on the tree. And I get that question all the time. How do I figure out how much water a tree needs or a shrub? Shrub is a little more difficult, but a tree is fairly easy to figure out. I saw a formulation. This was based on research conducted by, I believe, the University of California, where they tested trees and they determined this is in the West and this is only an average. And it's, I want to emphasize that, only the average. So if you got sandier soil, it may need more. If it's really got a lot of clay in it and stays wet, it may need less. But the number is, you take the number 29. So there was this whole long formula. And what it boils down is to the number for our area. It would change if we went somewhere else. But our area, it's a number 29 times the diameter of the canopy. So if it's a 10-foot by 10-foot purple leaf plum, taking it through the formula, taking it down to 8 months where the tree is really going to need the water, taking it down to 4 weeks in a month, taking it down 3 times a week for watering by what the city says, that would mean the tree needs 30 gallons of water every time you water it 3 times a week or 90 gallons a week. So that 29 times the canopy length times width diameter there gives you the square footage of how much water that tree would possibly need for that year.
Okay, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Michael, you've been holding patiently. Welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You're on with Jeff.
Thank you. I have a jujube tree cutting that I planted a long time ago from a friend, and they generally grow like weeds once they get started, but this one, it was a rooted piece that I took from one of his trees, and it's just not growing at all. And I was considering just because it's been 3 years and it's, you know, still only like a foot high or something. I was considering pulling it up and washing the roots off and planting it somewhere else. I did plant it with organic matter, and it gets plenty of water. And I finally started fertilizing heavily, and it doesn't seem to respond.
So you're right. Generally, they grow really fast, and they take off, and there's no looking back. So something isn't right, and maybe from the cutting, the root system just never developed. So it would be a good idea to dig it up. I'd dig it up and I'd put it in a pot of good potting soil and grow it like that for a while until it's got its vigor renewed before I put it back in the ground.
Great. Thank you very much. One other thing, a great thing for, because of COVID, I'm home a lot more now. And an irrigation instructor, wise old sage man, once said, during our class, the best fertilizer is the footprint of the farmer. I just thought I'd pass that along.
Thank you very much, sir. Jeff, with COVID, and we talked about this in the spring, and I noticed this around the springtime, but a lot of the greenhouses were really jam-packed with people purchasing materials for their garden. Do you feel like, I know in my neighborhood I saw more gardening. Do you feel that people did more gardening this year?
Yes. All through the summer, I had more calls from homeowners, lots of them. Sometimes I thought maybe they had never gotten out in their garden before and actually looked at their plants. And because I got all kinds of questions about how to grow things, how to improve their soils, how to take care of things. And you could tell people had not been out in their gardens. And I actually went out to a few places and looked at their gardens to see what was going on in some instances. But yeah, a lot more people out there, a lot more people obviously in the nurseries buying things. You know, if you're going to be homebound, you might as well have something beautiful to look at and someplace beautiful to be.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. 888-922-5794. Going to switch a little bit here. Go to Sarah Campbell, who has been patiently standing by at Pledge Central, which is her home, via Zoom. Sarah, where are we as we want to wrap up the drive right now?
Oh my gosh. And Mundo, I feel like every time I say we're so close, but truly we are. We are just getting there and getting there. We have under $1,500 to go to reach our goal. So, I mean, truly, it's been amazing. And I have a lot of people that I want to thank for helping make this possible. So we have a new donor, William in Hillsboro, who told us that he finds NPR vitally informative in these times. So thank you, William. We've also got a couple of anonymous donors in Las Cruces, including one who is sustaining. So thank you so much for making that ongoing commitment to KRWG. And we also have Marianne in Tyrone, who says she really appreciates what KRWG is doing. I also want to thank Pamela Angel, who's a new member, and Jeff Paul and Sherry Hudson Brown, who also just made a contribution to us. And I think I heard my email just go off, actually. So if you come to me a little bit later, I may even have an updated total for us.
All right, 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Give online at krwg.org. Programs like the Gardening Confidential are made possible through your support. It is through your support that we are able to bring these types of programs because we are listener-sponsored radio. We rely on your support to bring you programs like the Gardening Confidential. Because you value this service, we want to hear from you. Again, $1,475. It'd be wonderful if we had one person give that amount. But we know that the power of the people, 10 people at $120, $10 a month, will help us get close to our goal, if not surpass it. I can't do the math. My mind is mush right now. But the key right now is for you to call in and pledge your support. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. krwg.org. Sarah, we'll check back with you in just a bit. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Speaking of phone lines, Jeff Anderson, we've got Victor, who has been patiently standing by. Victor, what's on your mind? You are on with Jeff Anderson. Okay. Victor is no longer there. We have a question from a listener who wants to know what kind of native plants are best for hummingbirds and butterflies this time of the year.
Yeah. One of the favorite hummingbird plants is Anisacanthus, which is called Mexican firecracker bush. And it grows here superbly. It has these tubular bright orange or red flowers on it. And it's the one plant over the years I've lived here that I have seen the hummingbirds just go crazy for it. Mm. And it starts blooming in the summer, and it blooms all the way up till it freezes. And the hummingbirds just love it. Any of the salvias, anything that you could put out there, even a bird feeder, but getting things out there into your garden. I have lots of hummingbirds in my yard, and I see them on all kinds of plants and things I wouldn't even have thought of. But you want to have something like that Mexican firecracker bush in your yard because it blooms so long and it's sustaining. There are other flowers that come and go. So penstemons in the spring and some other things. We get the Texas sages when they bloom. You'll find hummingbirds on there, but they're brief and short. But the Mexican firecracker bush lasts a long time. Same thing with the Mexican honeysuckle, Justicia. Yes. That one does really well here too. Bright orange flowers. It's a perennial. That one the hummingbirds love as well.
All right, let's go back to Victor. Victor, can you hear us now? I mean, can you join us now? There you go.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine, sir. What's on your mind?
Okay. You were talking about the Mexican plants. I have a question regarding my Mexican elder and my hawthorns. On the Mexican elder, it came out really nice. It bloomed in like May, green leaves, beautiful. Then all of a sudden, around June, July, it started going dry on me. And right now, it looks like it's practically bare. Is this unusual, or is this the way it goes to sleep, dormant for the year?
So that's normal for a Mexican elder. So in their native habitat, they come out very early in the spring, like February, when it's cool. So they enjoy that cool temperatures. Once it starts getting hot, they have a summer dormancy. Now, if you live in an ideal place where you can keep enough moisture and cool enough, they will try to keep their leaves through the summer. But in most instances, they're going to go dormant in the summer. Then they'll try to green up in the fall again once it gets cool enough. And then they'll go dormant again in the wintertime. And then the cycle repeats itself.
It's going through a normal cycle then.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, the Mexican elder in Spanish is a saúco.
Repeat again.
Saúco. Saúco. S-A-U-C-O. Saúco.
Saúco. Okay.
Saúco. Yeah, I just remembered that. Now, on my hawthorns, they're taking a switch too. All of a sudden, I'm seeing them turn brown, the leaves turn brown. And I don't remember seeing that before. Do I have a problem with fungus or bugs in this plant?
I'd say no. Depending on the type of browning, you want to make sure it's not the new leaves coming out and they're looking brown. But generally when you get browning leaves, that's a sunburn, and usually get sunburned because for some reason the moisture wasn't there and it couldn't cool the leaf tissue. So those leaves are literally sunburning and collapsing, and that's what we get here. So it's,
oh,
it's a walk.
Okay. So it's probably just victims of the heat then, and I should just keep watering it then.
Heat and drought, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Victor.
Thank you.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. The lines are open right now. If you want to get on, now is the time to do so. 575-646-2212. Gabby, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Yes, Gabby, what's up?
First, thanks so much for this wonderful program. I wondered whether you've been running into any disease for the African pines this year. I have five of them. They have been wonderful. They're between 30 feet and 40 feet. I'm in Las Cruces down by Mearside Center. But this summer, the inside pine needles, the pine needles on the inside, have been turning brown and falling off much more than they usually do. Only the tips are green. And the bark looks like there's a lot of damage, although it doesn't seem to be falling off. It's split, and there seem to be some black areas. I'm hoping these trees aren't dying.
Okay. So with Afghan pines, there's a lot going on here. When I first moved here, they grew really well. We had no problems. Then tip moth came in, and that was a problem. Currently, what we're experiencing, especially with older pines, are that they're not getting enough water. They're not as
I do water them once a week.
Okay. So a lot of people think they're more drought tolerant than they are, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
need plenty of water. And you got to make sure you get the water in the right areas. Then we also have, with the 2011 freeze and the droughts we've been having, we've had tremendous mm-hmm. amounts of bark beetles and borers move in. And you may not even see them. You don't even see them in the tree. And you'll find holes sometimes where they come out. That's not where they went in. Mm-hmm. That's where they're coming out. So the holes in the trees can mm-hmm. indicate, and sap flowing is where the beetles are coming out. But the little ones are still feeding inside. And the only way to treat that is with a systemic insecticide to save it. And so your
What's the name of that insecticide?
It's called imidacloprid.
Imidacloprid, okay.
With an I, imidacloprid. And you can talk to Color Your World or Sierra Vista Growers. They probably have it in there, and they can help you out with it.
Okay, all right.
You have to apply it according to the directions and get that in there. But it's not just Afghan pines that suffer it. It's Arizona cypress and some of the other hash trees, and that will get it as well.
Okay, I have some of those too.
The needle drop is an indication, sometimes a lack of water. Sometimes those inner needles are just being shaded out, or it can be an indication of the borers. So it involves investigation of what's the exact cause.
Okay.
All right. Gabby, we got other calls to get to. Thank you very much.
Thanks so very much.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Let's go to Diane. Diane, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff Anderson. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Well, maybe the same question as the previous caller, only it pertains to the purple leaf plum. Actually, it's not my tree. I have three purple leaf plums in over the wall into the house in back of me, but there's no one occupying that house. And I'm wondering if it's a watering issue. I do kind of water over there, but it just seems to be losing its leaves and looking kind of like they might be on the way out. And they're nice trees, and I certainly like having them there. It doesn't seem to be the same thing that affecting my apricot tree, which is just on the other side. But anyway, what do you think about that?
So the purple leaf plums do very well here, and there isn't too many reasons why they should die here other than drought. I've been watching the similar circumstance of trees across from me die at a piece of property there because they have not been watered all summer, so they've been losing leaves and dying. And once they get stressed like that, they are open to bark beetles and borers as well. And that's when you start seeing the gummosis coming out of there, that gummy stuff. And that's it, the tree trying to plug up those holes. But it's almost futile because the bark beetles are going to eventually kill it. And
okay,
it all started with lack of water.
Diane, we've got other calls to get to. Thank you very much. We've got George. George, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Jeff. How are you? This is George. Jeff, I'm growing Armenian cucumbers for home consumption and to sell at the farmer's market.
Yes.
Not all, but some of them are so bitter you have to spit them out. It almost tastes like poison. And I've done some research and can't figure out why that could be.
So I haven't heard why, although I would suspect that the excessive heat that we've had this year and maybe coupled with water, how the water is moving through the plants, has created some bitter tones to it this year that they normally wouldn't have. That would be my best guess.
Okay, so pray for clouds.
All right. A little bit milder temperatures than that, and they wouldn't be probably as bitter.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to another call on KRWG. We're going to be wrapping up the show in about 20 minutes. So let us go to the phone where Hamilton is joining us. Hamilton, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind, Hamilton?
I have two houseplants that they just had beautiful green leaves when they were given to me. Beautiful. And now all the leaves are turning brown and almost black.
Okay, so that depends on what type of houseplants they are. Do you know what kind they are?
Can you turn down your radio, Hamilton?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
By the way, while she turns on the radio, here's a quick update as to where we are for the drive. We are currently $1,175 away from reaching our goal. Hamilton?
Yes.
What were you saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jeff was responding.
Now, you were telling me that they were that depend upon what?
What kind of houseplants? Do you know what kind they are?
Well, one was a gardenia and one was a peace lily.
Okay, so you're getting blackening of the leaves.
Yes.
So gardenias are normally grown as an outdoor plant, and they like a more acidic environment. And we don't have that. Our water is alkaline too. So they're going to start suffering from dry conditions, and our water also has more salt in it. So as you keep watering the plant, the salt keeps building up in the soil, and that those salts that we have kind of prevent the water from getting to the end of the leaf very well. So it restricts it in that way. But also, any of the salts that move to the end of the leaves start accumulating and burning the leaf as well. So we want to try and use good, clean water, or take the plant and put it in the sink and flush the soil out so you don't get salt buildup in there.
Flush the soil out.
Yes, try to keep that soil flushed out and then periodically fertilize it so you balance out the salt with a good fertilizer.
What kind of fertilizer should it use? Just any kind?
Just like a Miracle-Gro. For indoor pots, it's best to use a mild dose of Miracle-Gro, but make sure you periodically flush it all out because it's all salts.
Okay, Hamilton, we got to get to some other callers. Thank you
very much.
575-646-2212. And actually, we want to get to Beverly. Beverly, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have a new Esperanza plant, and I'm noticing that it has some aphids on it. And I'm not too afraid of things like that. Mostly I'm seeing what's left of my hummingbirds picking at it. Are they eating the aphids?
Yes, they are. So I wouldn't worry too much about the aphids. If you get any ladybugs, will be coming in there, and they'll start munching on them, but the hummingbirds eat them as well.
Okay, that's pretty much what I was anticipating. I didn't want to start, you know, spraying them or something. I kind of trust nature. So, all right, I think that's the Esperanza is new to me. It is a, you know, kind of a more watery. It's more likely to have aphids than some of the other plants.
So, succulent new growth is more likely to have aphids on it, like a lot of things. Yeah, it's real tender, and the aphids love that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yes, they're very tender and juicy.
All right, thank you, Beverly. All right, right now we want to take a quick break and go to Sarah Campbell, who is going to give us an update as to where we are for KRWG's fall membership drive. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, krwg.org. Sarah, what's going on?
Well, Edmundo, I'm very excited that we are just over $1,000 to go. $1,090 to be specific.
Yes.
Yeah, to be specific. And I have so many people to thank. I want to thank an anonymous sustainer in Tularosa. Thank you so much for your investment in KRWG. We also have a couple folks in El Paso, somebody anonymous, and also Matthew Brennan in El Paso. Thank you both so much. And we also have somebody from Alamogordo, George in Alamogordo. So I think that just shows, you know, people are valuing this service all across this area of Far West Texas and Southern New Mexico.
888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. Again, this is an opportunity for you to shine. We're looking for one person right now to make a contribution of $1,100 or 10 or 11 people at $100. However you do the math, right now is the time for you to step up and make a difference. Help us wrap up the drive before 2 o'clock. You can do it. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. Again, if it's within your means, consider giving a contribution of $83 a month. That would help us get so close to our goal. Do your part right now so we can wrap up these fall membership drive right now. 888-923-922-5794. Sarah, we'll check back with you, and hopefully you'll have some good news for us. All right.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let us take one more call. Monya, you are on the air with Jeff Anderson. What's on your mind? Monya?
Yeah, it's Monya.
Monya. Actually.
But thank you. I was calling because my husband and I want to plant a tree in our yard, and we have quite a big pool. And so we're worried about the roots growing into the pool area. I would say it's about 12 to 15 feet away where we want to plant the tree. We also want something shady that grows fast. And so I'm wondering what a good recommendation for that would be.
Thank you.
Difficult question. Something that grows fast, deep-rooted, gives you shade. You know, that's what everybody wants. And is it going to hurt your pool? So that's a difficult question because, you know, it's kind of, I could tell you deep-rooted trees, hard to predict whether those roots will eventually get to the pool no matter what. So your best choices are like I mentioned before, like the Keith Davey Chinese pistache or the Red Push. Those I know are very deep-rooted. Also, most of the oaks are very deep-rooted, so I would recommend those. Those are some of the easiest plants to do that will give you good growth. But I also want to mention that you probably should consider around a pool, you don't want a lot of litter falling in, and palm mm-hmm. trees are really great. And I'm not talking about the typical Mexican palm that's planted all over here, which comes from Baja California, is only hardy to 22 degrees. There are other palms that are much more cold hardy and would look equally as beautiful in a situation like that.
Let's talk about palms, Jeff. This past spring, I had the privilege and honor of visiting your house and seeing it for the first time. You had sent me a picture of the before they you started planting, before you when you moved in and you had a canvas to work with.
Right.
Talk to me about what your favorite tree is to plant and why.
You know, I grew up in Minnesota, and it was so cold there. Our coldest was 47 below when I lived there, 47 below zero. And so we used to go to the Cobo Park Conservatory, and it's indoors, and it had these beautiful palm trees in it. And I would stare at the palm trees and think, I want to live someplace where I can grow palm trees out there. So yeah, in my yard, I love palm trees. I think I've gotten kind of crazy about them because I don't usually tell people anymore how many palm trees I have in my yard.
Because but there are a lot. There are a lot.
It's somewhere between 700 and 1,000. And that seems like a lot, but they're not all big palms.
No, they're all sizes. I remember walking through and looked up and saw some palms. Looked down, saw some palms. Look ahead and saw some palms.
Yeah, there are palms that only grow 18 inches. And there are palms that take a lifetime to even get half, you know, big enough to even see them. So I like collecting. And this is the only property I have. So I like to experiment. I like so that way I can bring that to the public and tell them what's the best things to grow. So I have probably the largest collection in New Mexico of cold hardy palms. And the trouble is now that there are a lot of growers are doing these hybrid palms. So they're taking like a queen palm, which won't grow here, and a pindo palm, which will grow here. And they've hybridized them together. So you get this tree. It looks like a coconut tree, but it's cold hardy for here. And so, you know, there's some wonderful things that have come out since the first time we saw fan palms in this city here in the county.
Let's talk about one of my favorite trees, and, you know, maybe one day I'll get brave enough and plant it, is an olive tree. I think that they are really significant about so many things, but, I mean, they're just a gorgeous tree. How many olive trees do you have?
I have 9 olive trees. So in the yard with almost 1,000 palm trees, there are 9 olive trees, besides other things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really a great tree. They're drought tolerant. They're beautiful. They're evergreen. Some people have allergies to the pollen. That could be a problem. But they produce fruit if you like to make your own olives. And the leaves. The leaves, you know, when you see olive leaf extract in the health food stores because it's so healthy for you, you can grow your own tree, pick your own leaves for free, and make olive leaf tea, which is supposed to be antiviral, so it's good for colds.
Nice. So you have palm trees, you have olive trees, and you also have citrus trees.
I have citrus. I've got lemons on my tree. I have calamondin oranges, which makes the best marmalade you ever ate in your life, tangerines, Persian limes, true lemons, and Meyer lemons, and grapefruit. And citronella, which is cold hardy down to 0 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Arctic frost mandarin oranges, which are cold hardy down to 10 degrees. So I got these all dispersed throughout my yard. So in the spring, I get this wonderful aroma of citrus, and then the palms and the olives and everything else, the beautiful exotic Mexican oaks, or I just got a new one, a Himalayan oak, which has these beautiful deep green leaves and solid white felt on the bottom of every leaf.
We had a social media question wanting to know, do you do tours of your house?
You know, in 2015, I did the tour of gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, the tour of gardens went away because the garden group that was leading it, they were getting older. And, you know, it became difficult for these older women to continue to do so much work. So it kind of ended. And so they, you know, there's been this open invitation for somebody to bring the garden tours back. And I would do it again so that people could see what things can grow here. I enjoyed it. I have done limited tours for like our master gardeners and that where we tour each other's homes. But that's been about it.
Okay. Yeah, I just got an update. We are holding steady at 1,090. We've got 5 minutes to go. Let us get those calls coming in right now at 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. You've enjoyed the show today because you're still listening. We want to get back to Jeff in just one moment to wrap up the show, but let us get some calls of support right now. 888-922-5794. We are $1,090 away from reaching our overall goal of $105,000. Would it be you that helps us take us over the top? Will you be the hero and go out and enjoy your weekend? Do some gardening. As we said, started off the show with Life is a Garden, dig it. Let's dig it here at KRWG with your pledge of support. 888 888- 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Jeff, let's talk about something that's been happening and a lot of people have noticed is the smoke, the fire out west. What can you tell us on how that affects our local plants?
So you know how difficult it can be for you to breathe when you're in a smoky situation. I mean, I've had an irritated throat from all these fires all summer long. So the plants themselves, they can't go in the house and get out of the smoke. So their leaves are constantly pulling in these toxins that are in the air from who knows what's in the toxins or the smoke, where it's coming from. So they're subjected to that. So a lot of the leaves are suffering. A lot of the plants are suffering from this smoke and a lot of the wildlife. So I want to make an impassioned plea that everybody do what you can. Put out water for the birds and the animals. Plant a tree. Look, we got millions of acres of trees burning in the west here. And, you know, be forever before those are replaced. So do everything you can to take care of the plants in your yard, the trees in your yard. Give them that little bit of water they need. Remember, it's 29 times the diameter of the canopy to supply the water that the tree needs in your yard. And plant some good drought-tolerant trees to help replace what we've lost forever in our forests.
Jeff, I'm preparing my fall garden. I live off of Rinconada. And my very sandy soil. And I supplement it with different compost and different things to make it. What should I do right now in the fall and winter so that come spring, my plants will just sprout? And I'm wanting to do a vegetable garden in the spring. I did a vegetable garden many years ago, but I had darn squirrels kept eating my watermelon and different plants. But talk to me about terms of soil, what I can do to prepare for it.
So for those of you that haven't got compost in your soil, compost is the answer. Get the compost in there. It holds the moisture and nutrients. So get a lot of that in there. Work it in there. If you're not going to plant anything in the winter, that's what you want to do is build up your garden. Add the nutrients. If you can do a soil test to find out what kind of nutrition you need, you can add it now. Get that all blended into your garden so that by spring, it has time to rest and amend and meld together. And then it'll be ready to go when you plant your first vegetables in the spring. I believe in the biosolids from the sewage treatment plant. Like I said, not everybody does, but it contains some micronutrients. Don't overdo them because there's salt in them. But you can put them in, work them in, water it real well to leach out the salt, and have it age through the winter. So by spring, you'll be able to grow great tomatoes as long as you keep watering them on a regular basis.
KRWG's Gardening Confidential has been brought to you by Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric. Assist residential gardeners with full-service system integrator providing solar and electric solutions through discovery, design, and installation. More information at OregonMountainSolar.com. By Mesilla Valley Hospice, serving generations of families during difficult times. Mesilla Valley Hospice is made possible through donations and the support of the entire community. Learn more online at mvhospice.org. By Sierra Vista Growers, showcasing the growers market, where local growers can distribute their products, happening every Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon. 2800 Highway 28 in La Union. Jeff, this has been a blast. You know, the 2 hours kind of goes by real fast. We had a lot of calls that have come in. Manny has been helping out with KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Jake Lockwood is always handling the phones, handling social media. Jeff, Jake did it all today, and Manny, we just had a great show. Jeff Anderson, thank you very much for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. We'll see you in the spring.
Thank you. It was great doing this.
All right. For those of you that are just tuned in, you've been listening to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. It's now 2 o'clock. This is KRWG Las Cruces, KRXG Silver City. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. Let us wrap up the fall membership drive. We are now at $1,000 away. One pledge of $1,000 will help us reach our goal of $105,000. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Intermezzo by request is coming up after the news. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-922-5794.